Every play, every musical, begins with some writer putting words on a page. Hello, and welcome to Stagecraft, the Broadway radio podcast that talks to playwrights and musical book writers about the shows they've created. My name is Jan Simpson. My guest for this episode is Leah Romeo, the author of Still, a very smart two-hander about love and politics. It is currently running at the DR2 Theater through May 23rd. Hello, Leah Romeo. Welcome to Stagecraft.
Thank you.
We start off these conversations with a brief description of what the show is about. So could you briefly summarize what Still is about?
I can. It's tricky because it's hard to talk about this play without giving away some things that I don't necessarily want to give away about it. The play is about a pair of former lovers named Helen and Mark. They're in their 60s now, and they have reunited for the first time in 30 years. They're having a drink together, and, you know, obviously a lot has happened in the meantime. He has been married and is now divorced. He has kids. She has had a successful career as a novelist, and she's now dealing with health challenges. So they catch each other up on their lives. They end up realizing that they still have a lot of feelings for one another. And then they also end up realizing that they are profoundly different and divided in certain ways that they were not necessarily aware of or thinking about when they were younger. And so they have to figure out what to do about that.
I think you did a really great job there, dodging around the spoiler potholes there.
It's interesting. A lot of the reviews have sort of gone point by point through all of the major plot points of the play. And I'm like, that's not ideal. Actually, I would rather people be able to discover those as they're watching. But
absolutely. So that's part of the pleasure, actually, of seeing the show. You make some remarks in the program notes for the show about what inspired you to write this play. But I'm wondering if you could just talk a little bit more about the genesis of the play.
Yeah, definitely. I was married for a long time now, separated, but still, you know, very close to a man who I disagree with politically. And when we first got married, it seemed like, that's okay, we can work with that. And, you know, as time went on, and especially post-2016, it started to feel less and less like that was true. And I first started working on the play about 2 years ago and was very much in this place of trying to figure out, what do I do with this? What do you do when you love someone, but you hate some of the things that person believes? And I thought, okay, if I write a play about this, I will figure out the answer. I will know what to do going forward. And, you know, did not figure out the answer through the process of writing the play. But I did realize that, you know, it is a question that resonates with a lot of other people. So that was really helpful to me to just realize, you know, I'm not the only person struggling with this. And I don't think there really is a way to answer it, because the answer is obviously going to be different for every person. But I think it's something that's on a lot of people's minds these days.
Absolutely. One of the things that really struck me initially is that this is a romantic story about people in their 60s. And we don't see that a lot.
Yeah.
Did you think about how to age Helen and Mark, the two main characters? Were there different ages? Were they always in their mid to late 60s?
They were always that age. And, you know, part of it was because some of the material was personal, and so I wanted to distance it from myself a little bit. But the main reason was I really was interested in working with older actors, because whenever I've had the chance to work with older actors, they are so good because they've just been practicing and honing their craft, you know, through a lifetime. So they're always just fantastic actors. And I was like, I want to work with actors in that age bracket, and I want to give them the chance to do intimacy on stage. I want to give them the chance to take some clothes off on stage, you know, to do things that older actors are not always given the opportunity to do.
Yes, often when there is romance between older actors, it's either played for laughs or somewhat embarrassed, and that's not the case here.
No, this is a profound love story, and I think, profound love stories come to us at any age and maybe more often when we're older because the stakes are higher because there's not as much time, and so, the time really matters.
The two actors that you have in this production, Jane Atkinson and Tim Daly, are terrific. And
They're so wonderful.
I wonder if they informed any of the play, or was it just already set?
They absolutely did. I'd worked on the play some before they came on board, but because it was the premiere production, they came on board for the production at Dorset Theatre Festival last summer, and then we ended up bringing the same cast and design team and director to the New York City production. And so because that was the first production, I was very much still in process with the script during that rehearsal process, and there were things they told me that found their way into the script, very closely, personal experiences and ideas, and they definitely informed the process a lot.
We don't want to give away too much, but you did mention politics, and politics do enter this story. And one of the things that I found impressive is how you navigate both sides, allowing both points of view to be aired. And I was wondering how difficult, or maybe even easy, that was.
I mean, some of that was informed by conversations that I have actually had with people, my husband in particular, but also other people in my life. So, it felt like I have these people who are making well-developed arguments that I don't agree with, but that do sound convincing. And that's interesting to me. And, I want to give that argument its time on stage, even though I ultimately don't believe it is right. So, yeah, it wasn't that hard because I had material to draw from, I guess.
Do you think the arguments, or even the interaction, would have been different if Mark and Helen were younger?
Yeah, definitely. I think because they are the ages that they are, I think there is a certain degree of understanding and compassion that is ultimately possible for them, although it's not necessarily possible throughout the play because there's a lot of history, there's a lot of high emotion, and there are a lot of personal stakes even to the political discussions given the events of their history that we end up learning about. But in terms of where the two of them end up, which is not in a clearly defined place, but even the fact that they are able to still be speaking to each other after, what unfolds during the course of this play, I think is a function of their age and the, I don't know, mellowness that they have acquired in some ways throughout the course of their lives.
Now, again, I don't want to spoil anything, but the ending, I think, leaves people, at the performance I attended, at any rate, really talking about this, really debating. And I was wondering if you tried different endings to the play. And I'm being purposely vague because I think people should experience that too. But did you try different kinds of endings, or did you always know where you were going?
I did not always know. And this goes back to what I was saying about, I'm going to use this play to figure out what I think about this subject. And as I knew I was getting close to the end of the play, I was stuck for a while. Most of the play came pretty easily. I was writing it and it really flowed and, I was feeling good and excited about it while I was writing. And then I got like close to the end and I was stuck for a while and just didn't really know how to go forward because I didn't know where to lead these people and what the end of the play should be. Eventually, I realized that I could use that not knowing. And since I wrote it, it has remained the same. That is a part of the play that I feel confident in and strongly about because I feel like there are questions that it is not possible to answer. And so I don't want the play to answer those questions.
There are a couple of questions I have that I'm going to just admit up front are kind of silly questions. But it occurred to me as I was watching it. There is a lovely moment in the play where the song Fools Rush In plays yes. a significant role. I don't want to talk specifically about that moment, but I do wonder, how did you settle on that song? Did you consider others?
No, it was always that song. And the reason it was that song was because I was watching YouTube videos of people playing ukulele, and that is a ukulele classic, apparently. Many people who are learning the ukulele learn that particular song. And at first I was like, oh, that's too on the nose. I can't use that song in this moment. But then I realized there was a way to use it that sort of was not on the nose and that played against, you know, the romance of it, which I think is what ended up happening. And Jane's performance and the way that she does that moment is perfect. And, you know, I get chills every time I watch it.
You made her a novelist, and I'm imagining that, you know, you had a clear intent for that. There are lots of things she could have been. She could have been a lawyer, a doctor, a businesswoman. Why did you choose to make her a novelist?
That's a great question, because I don't think I had a clear intent, at least not consciously, when I first made that choice. I think that I knew that I wanted her to be in a creative field versus I wanted him to be in a less creative, you know, intellectually challenging, but not a creative field, because that felt like a productive, you know, sort of contrast. But in terms of being a novelist, I'm not sure. I didn't, it ends up playing a major role in the plot, her writing, and that was a discovery for me. I did not know that that was going to be the case when I first started writing. And so it was one of those things where, you know, you layer things in and then you realize, like, oh, I can use this thing that my subconscious put here for who knows what reason. Like, that's actually very useful in constructing a plot. So it was kind of fortuitous in that way.
And I guess finally, the title. Still, can you talk a little bit about that? Were there other titles that you had, and why did you settle on that particular one?
I have a hard time with titles. Titles are always the last thing for me, and usually, you know, I have the entire play, and then I think, okay, I need to call this something, and I don't know what. So the title came last after I had a draft. And for a long time, I was like, well, this is the working title, but I don't know if it should really be the title. But the more I sat with it, the more it did feel like it was the right title for the play, because so much of the play is about the things that change and the things that still remain, you know, and the ways that we as people are and are not the same people that we used to be. And so that title ended up feeling very fitting for that.
I think another thing that arises from the play, that although this is about this relationship between these very two distinct individuals and perhaps grew out of your own experience, one can broaden it to look at where we are as a society today. And I don't know how much you were thinking about that when you were writing as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was hoping that ultimately the play could work as a sort of microcosm, you know, definitely through the lens of this specific relationship, but of how we as a country navigate these differences that we find ourselves faced with right now.
It's really refreshing to have a play that's speaking to the moment, but not preaching to the moment in any way. So I want to thank you for writing
you.
That kind of play, and I want to thank you for agreeing to come on and talk to us about it.
Of course. Yeah, I think that, I have written plays that are preachy. I am definitely not above that. And I find that when I start from a place where I really know what I want to say, the play ends up being sort of didactic and hitting us over the head with what I want to say. Whereas in cases like this play, where I start with a question or something that I don't know and I'm trying to figure out, then the play obviously ends up being a lot more interesting. So it's an ongoing lesson for myself.
And it allows the viewers to really participate in the play because, as your characters and you, as the writer, are trying to figure this out, wrestle this down, so are we.
Yes, that's my hope. And I love that people leave the play talking about it.
Well, again, thank you for talking about it here.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. We hope you'll come back next time and that you'll listen to all the other Broadway Radio podcasts, which you can find on BroadwayRadio.com.